The Old Testament reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, reading from verses 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Praise and glory to God. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Take a seat, everyone. Lovely to see you all. Welcome. God is good, isn't he? All the time? Are you sure? Is my microphone on all the time? I'm on now. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and active. Lord, is able to separate bone and marrow. It's able to divide spirit and soul. Lord, that you will come, we pray, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord. May we leave changed because of your presence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Advent, everyone. We managed to survive the first week. We're now in the second week. Question for you. Are there times that you feel utterly abandoned? That you're longing for counsel and for wisdom, but you've got no one to turn to. You're longing for someone to understand you. For some of us in the room, you will have felt that most acutely, probably at the death of your parents or maybe a grandparent, where they were seen to be a great counsel for you. And it seems that life sets us adrift when our parents go. And there can be a risk or a sense of feeling that we should know everything. And we don't. Christmas season is supposed to be a time of great joy. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. We get our families together, even those bits of the family that we can't stand. We get them together as well. We have short meetings with them and then run away and whatever it is. And we talk about them for the rest of the year and trying to avoid them. But I'm sure that your family's not like that. Mine definitely isn't. Because I've got three members of my family here right now. I have the best family. It's a time of great joy. However, it can also be a time of great loneliness. Many will go through the great inner turmoil and grief of loneliness, especially at Christmas time. There's something about it that actually resonates deep within our soul. And if all is not well, that unwellness seems to magnify. If you are struggling with the loss of loved ones, with job and financial insecurity, you've had a hell of a year. There's been family tensions or disappointments. Or did you know that depression spikes at Christmas time? If you are struggling in any way, or if you know anyone who is struggling in any way, come back at 5 o'clock tonight. We have our Blue Christmas service for those who will find Christmas difficult this year. Maybe the anniversary of the death of a loved one, or maybe it's just the death of the loved one is really on your heart at the moment. Come to a time that actually we can be peaceful. There's no great guitars and people jumping around or anything like that, or there might be a few flashing lights, but that's about all. But it's a time to be still before the Lord and to bring to him your grief and maybe your sadness at any loss that you have had. Christmas has great news, and the news is this, that within the mess and brokenness, God comes to dwell with us. God doesn't wait until we're sorted. He comes to sort us because we've left our room far too messy. What happened 2,000 years ago was a statement of intention by God that he is not repulsed by our mess, that he's able to make his home with us and to transform that mess. The greatest gift that someone can get this Christmas is not the latest Fitbit or whatever or gadget or whatever. I'm a gadget madman, I am. But the greatest Christmas gift you could ever give anyone is the opportunity for them to know that God loves them, that God has not forgotten them, and that he is with them. We're looking in two short studies in the next couple of weeks. We'll do two short studies in Romans, the book of Romans. Theologians have said it's the Himalayas of the New Testament. And chapter 8 is said to be the Mount Everest of that. And we know how to knock Mount Everest off, don't we? Well, someone does. Sir Edmund. What we want to look today is at that most incredible and almost unbelievable truth that God is with those that love him. His presence means that God is with us. God is with us. God is God. He is beyond and above all things. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. There's nothing that he can't do. He's amazing. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He even knows more than Father Christmas. So, if you say, have you been good this year? You're not trying to impress Father Christmas. Jesus is ever with us. It's known as God being omnipresent. To be omnipresent means this: all present at all times and in all things. God declares by himself, by him revealing himself to you and I, he declares in the prophet Isaiah, he said, the virgin shall be with a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has laid out his manifesto. It's, I'm here and I'm not leaving. God's presence was planned to be with us from the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth and he formed Adam and Eve, his greatest time spent was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, dwelling with them. God's intention is that we know him dwelling with us, him walking with us. It's only the sin of humanity that has separated us. But let's read this from Joshua. Joshua was spoken to by the Lord. It says this, let's read it together. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let me catapult you quickly for those of you who know some of the New Testament. It says this, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Yes and amen. Let it be so. All the promises of God. This is a promise of God to you and I, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He also said this. Jesus said, and surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. What is Jesus' name? Emmanuel, God with us. I will be with you. Jesus is fulfilling his full intention from the beginning of creation to the end of time, never to leave us. Can we say this together? And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. You are not abandoned. If you hear anything today, you are not abandoned. I want you to say out loud, I am not abandoned. And again, I am not abandoned. You see, our greatest fear is to be abandoned. In Christ, you are not abandoned. You are adopted. You are part of God's great scheme. God has committed himself to be with you. You are not abandoned. Secondly, God's presence is in all things. Let's read Romans 8. And I've made a mistake down the bottom, so please do to his good purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his good purpose. In all things, God works for the good. He is working right now for your good. Hard to believe at times, but it's true. God with us means that he is not removed from our lives, but he is with us. He works in us and through us. The most difficult thing in life is that when we're in good times, we sort of don't notice the presence of God. When we're in bad times, we find it hard to detect the presence of God. God's on a losing wicket here for us, with us. Unless we understand that in the heights and the depths, he is always with us. God is with you in all things. Some of you here, some of us here, have had terrible years. Some of us, this will be yet another terrible year for you. There seems no end to it, but let me tell you, God is with you. He has not abandoned you. He is with you. He is working out his purposes in your life for his good and your good. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer than we would like. God has the power to transform your circumstances to his good. Jesus and his disciples were sitting in a boat. Now remember, his disciples, most of them were fishermen, so they knew about boats. They knew about weather. So they push out. Jesus lies down on a cushion. Must have been a very big cushion, or Jesus was very small, but I think it was a big cushion. They go out and a squall hits up. Now, I don't think this was just a squall. This was an almighty, danger-filling storm. Because the disciples run to Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're going to die? Come and help." How could Jesus, in the midst of your storm, seem to be asleep? Or in the storm of these disciples, seem to be asleep? Well, first of all, remember this. Jesus was with them in the storm. Jesus is with you in your storm. Secondly, how could he sleep? Well, I've heard it put like this, and I quite like it. It seems that the peace within Jesus was greater than the storm without Jesus, outside of Jesus. So he could sit within this, knowing that God was with him. And then he could speak to the storm with a greater peace. "I will not let you conquer me. Be still, be quiet." And sometimes, friends, you and I need to speak that to our hearts as if it were Jesus. Be still, be quiet. God is present with us, his transformative power, because you are not abandoned. I am not abandoned. Say it with me. I am not abandoned. God is with you in all things during the trial and the triumph. Thirdly, God's presence is utterly unshakable. Let's read this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul is answering, he's making a rhetorical question, a self-answering question. Duh, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is only with the benefit of hindsight that we see that God was in the mess. That benefit of hindsight should inform our hearts in the now sight that God is with us. We are not abandoned. Paul deals firstly with a physical realm. No trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. He's not saying these things won't happen. This isn't a triumphalistic gospel that says, you believe in Jesus and everything's going to be all right. But this is the gospel that says God is going to be with you. He will not desert you, even at your darkest moment. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing coming against you. The parable of the weeds, which Jolene was speaking about, says often that when the worries of this world or persecution comes, it squashes the seed of faith and makes it die. But if we just remember that nothing can separate us when persecution comes, we will grow up strong in the Lord. Paul cites Psalm 44, for your sake we suffer death all day. This prophetic sign. God lives in us and our troubles are for his sake that we bear them in him. It's a prophetic sign of the kingdom of God. The key is knowing who we are enduring all this for. We're enduring it for Christ. So first of all, Paul deals with a physical realm. He then deals with a metaphysical realm, the spiritual realm. And he says this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, join with me if you would like, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Death or life, the fear of our mortality. Angels or demons, the fear of the supernatural. Present or future, the fear of living and the fear of fear itself. The fear of the future. What if I make a mistake? I think there are people caught in this room with a fear of treading the wrong steps. Nor any powers. There is no curse. There's no political power. There's no church. There's no principality of this dark world that can separate you from the love of God. No height, no depth, no range of emotion can separate you. No depression can separate you from the love of God, even though you may feel miles away from God. Nor anything else in all of creation can separate you and me from the love of Christ. Paul says, I am convinced. To be convinced is a dual action of the mind and the heart. First of all, the mind informs the heart, then the heart encourages the mind. How do we keep ourselves strong in the Lord, convinced that we're never separated from God? Well, I think some of the secret is in Joshua chapter 1. Do not let the book of I haven't even written it up. So this is stay there. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Often we want the prosperous and successful without the meditation on the word of the God day and night. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, your law I meditate all day long. And we struggle for 5 minutes over a cup of coffee. And we wonder sometimes why we feel separated from God. Friends, it's just because our spiritual eyes have not been opened. And our hearts have not been encouraged to hope in him again. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. For you are not abandoned. God is with us. He is for us. And we'll learn in the weeks to come, nothing can come against you. Shall we stand? I think this is a very key message, and I'm wondering if God's asking me to preach it at our carol service. Do pray for me as I think about this, but I think that this is a key message for the heart of the culture at the moment. That we have been set free by our own rebellion, but God will not abandon us to our own devices. Let's just invite the Spirit of God to come and do the work that He does in our hearts to really believe it. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we invite you. If you're not used to this, can I just encourage you, close your eyes, focus on God, open your hearts up before Him. Neither angels, nor demons, nor death, nor life, nor the present, nor the future, nor powers, nor height, or depth, can separate you from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. And Father, for those of us, Lord, that are in the storm and are crying, don't you care for us, Jesus? Lord, we speak, you are not abandoned. God is with you. Lord, with those with a fear of making a mistake, getting it wrong, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would release those shackles that stops our friends from living. Holy Spirit, come. Set us free. Set us free. The Lord, this is coming in power right now. Some of you with a great sense of being abandoned, the Lord's coming just to reassure you. Might have been over the death of a parent, or just the sense of being lost. But we accept your presence with us. We say yes to you. Heal our hearts, Lord. Show us, Lord, that we are truly adopted sons and daughters of you. That we may know you more and more. Still our savage hearts, that we may trust you. Amen.